leave his home. He called him to trek a quarter of the way across the planet to resettle his family in a new location, to start a new life, a life of service to God. He was given the promised land. As the years went by, though, Abraham's descendants faced many challenges. And one challenge was, if you will, a recession. They ran out of food. It was a drought. They went to Egypt. They settled in there, praising God for taking care of them and providing Joseph to provide the food that they needed. But they didn't go back to the promised land. They stayed in Egypt. When the 7 years of drought were finished, instead of returning to the promised land, the land that God had given them, the land that they did have to fight for, the land that was difficult, they stayed in the bosom of Egypt because it seemed safer. But as the centuries went by, the Egyptians forgot about Joseph. They forgot about the promises to the children of Jacob. And soon they were enslaved. They were taken over. They were oppressed. They were persecuted. Their God was ridiculed. And the centuries went by. And God called Moses, one man, a sheepherder, to bring deliverance to an entire people. So this one man went before the Pharaoh and demanded that he let God's people go. The Pharaoh refused. So God sent a plague and another and another. Each time the Pharaoh refused to let the people go. Finally, the last plague, the plague of the firstborn, amounted to the death of every firstborn child in every family throughout the entire kingdom. Those of you that are parents, picture in your mind quickly your firstborn. Now imagine it gone, the hand of God, just like that. Imagine the pain, the struggle that would happen in your family with your firstborn gone. Then imagine the pain of realizing that it was God, the sovereign God of the universe, that had done that. And then imagine the reality that your political leaders could stop that. Now imagine that after the fact that you heard that you could have prevented it had you simply taken the blood of the sacrificial lamb, dipped the branch of hyssop in it, painted it, the blood over the doorpost of your home. Then when the death angel came by, he wouldn't have attacked your firstborn. He would have passed over your home and gone on to the next. So imagine your anger with God, your anger with the political system. Imagine the anger with yourself when you realize how simple it would have been to have saved your family from all this grief. This Passover that I'm talking about that took place in ancient Egypt, this is what we celebrate. This is what we commemorate here today. This is where communion was birthed. But you see, it never really was about the Pharaoh. It never really was about Moses. It never really was about the people who were alive at that time. You see, what it's always been about is it's always been about the blood of Jesus, which was shed at Calvary. It's always been about taking his blood and putting it not just over the doorpost of your home, but also the doorposts of your heart. And by applying the blood there, What you find is that the death angel passes over. So no more do you have thoughts about, no more do you need to have thoughts about death and destruction. No more do you need to have thoughts about, my child has died and I'll never see him again. Now you can think, my child has died, but I have a hope to see him again. My mother has died, but I have a hope to see her again. My brother, my father, my grandfather, my family. And one day when it's our turn to die, we will have the opportunity to walk through the grave and out the other side and be received into God's kingdom to live eternal life based on Christ's blood being on our hearts. The death angel will pass over us. Those who struggle with health issues, those will be laid aside. Those who struggle with poverty, that will be left behind. Those who struggle with anything and everything will be left behind, because we will enter into a kingdom where death does not reign, where pain is not present, where tears, the only tears there would be tears of joy. So there are no tears. No grief to bring us down. No sadness. Only the goodness. Imagine that life. The life that each of us dreams of. All put into place. Now imagine that all you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to inherit that. It's the message of the church. God loves you, sent Jesus to die for our sin, that we could be redeemed to Him, that we could live in this life with peace and joy, and that we could enter the next life, eternal life. As we take this communion, we take it in two parts. We take it in the bread, and that represents the body of Jesus Christ. The body that was broken for us. Not just the body that was broken on the cross, but the body that was broken throughout His entire life. As He left heaven, as He left His divine position and came to earth to take on the form of a man. A man who'd have the aches and pains that we have. A man who would understand what it means to lose a loved one. A man who would be tempted and tested and tried in every way that we are. A man who would understand us and how hard this is down here. That's who Jesus is. But when He was faced with the trials of this life, He didn't fail like I do. Dare I say like you do. He was successful every single time. So the one perfect man that lived, we didn't know how to handle him, so we killed him. We crucified him. We couldn't contain him. We couldn't control him. So we killed him. And when we drink from the cup, we remember that His blood continues to flow through the hearts and minds of every person that receives Him as Lord and Savior. And as we drink from this cup, we remember that we are drinking the cup of life, the cup of hope, the cup of a new birth, the cup that is filled with future. You know, every year when we have our birthday, we think, woohoo, let's celebrate one more life here on earth, or one more year here on earth. But we also are faced with that dark cloud of, we have one less year to live here on earth. Or we can face that as one day closer to glory. Mm-hmm.
How we want to look at it is all up to us. So take the hyssop today and paint it over your heart, that you would have the blood of Jesus abundant in your life, so that when you face trials and problems, that you see them through those rose-colored glasses of the blood of Christ, that you would know that it's all going to be okay, that it's all going to work out, that it's all going to be just fine, because God is in control. You say, well, you know, with my problems, you know, my mom, Francisca said, my mom is suffering. And maybe, you know, she looks at that and she sees her mom is downcast. She sees her mom who doesn't walk with the Lord quite as much as she should. And she worries, and will she gain eternal life? But praise be to God, we don't have to worry about that. Because God loves her mom so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for her. God loved her mom so much that He provided this communion that we take in remembrance of God's love. Amen. And Christ's sacrifice. Amen. And so we don't have to worry. We just have to be ourselves and share the good news that Jesus Christ died and that He now lives. And those who die believing in Him will live as well. This morning as we share this communion, I want you to have in your mind the picture of Christ on the cross dying for our sin. But I also want you to have in your mind the picture of Christ in the empty tomb. And how He's risen to life again so that we could rise with Him. Well, there's a lot to be sad about. There's a lot to mourn about in this world. As little things are taken from us. As time takes our ability to feel the mandolin strings. As time robs us of all these different things. There is one thing that time can't get from us. God's love. Christ's sacrifice. So you see, this isn't a meal to cry over. This is a meal to celebrate about. This is a meal that doesn't nourish the body because, let's face it, it's a cracker and a thimble full of juice. But it nourishes the soul like nothing else. So if you will drink of it and take of it, remembering that Jesus Christ died for your sin to set you free and to give you a new life, you will live an abundant life, excited life. Looking forward. Always looking forward. Father, we want to thank You for this communion. And as, Lord, it's passed out, I just pray, Father, that each person that's here would take this moment to confess their sins. That they would take this moment to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That they would take this moment to remember how much You love them and how much we should love You. How this should change how we live our lives, and how we should be at peace, not at war, not in conflict, but filled with hope and joy as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.